and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Karen Casey. And Karen, we were just talking about how angels come into our lives, and you recognize Pat as an angel on assignment, you called it. And we were just talking about other people. There are no accidental people in our lives, and sometimes they're not pleasant. And you were talking about one that wasn't pleasant, but yet really taught you something.
Yes, and it's really, I think of that, this next story, with a different kind of fondness. But I love to recall the setting. I had finished my dissertation. You know, 300 pages is a mighty undertaking.
Yes.
And all of the people on my committee had read my dissertation and given it glowing comments, except for one man. And there's always that one. And he hadn't, I had not heard one word from him. And I contacted him and I said, you know, Mr. Geffen, we really need to talk. I need to know what you're thinking. And it felt like he begrudgingly made an appointment with me. I went in to see him, and I had had many courses from him. We were not strangers, but I went in to see him, and he was always one of these really gruff kinds of people. And he didn't even invite me to sit down. The first words out of his mouth was, well, this has to be completely rewritten.
And it was goodness.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Goodness. Right. And I said, well, you know, my orals are set for 3 weeks from now. And he said, well, now that's not my fault. And at that point, I sat down. And I said, well, would you be willing to at least go through it partly with me to let me know your objections? Because I don't know how to address those objections if I don't know what they are to you. And I said, all of the other committee have approved it glowingly. And he just kind of grunted. That was kind of who he was.
Like a so what?
Yeah, right. But he said, well, okay. For 3.5 hours, we sat in his office. And I tell you, it was the most interesting 3.5 hours probably of my life to date. It was as though I was having an out-of-body experience. I could see myself looking down on the two of us. He asked questions that I really didn't even hear. I gave answers that I didn't even hear. But there was dialogue going on for 3.5 hours, at which time he said, I'm totally satisfied. This is perfect. Signed his name across it, handed it to me and said, I'll be at the oral. I was dumb. I was utterly dumbstruck because none of it was I didn't even feel as though I was present for any of that exchange. I had never had an out-of-body experience before. I could not have told anybody what it was like, but I knew what was happening that afternoon. I could literally feel myself above that conversation, a conversation that I never heard one word of. I left his office and I went out in the hall in search of a payphone, you know, back in those days, in search of a payphone.
Right.
To call my husband, my second husband, and say, well, I don't know what happened, but God showed up.
Oh, my goodness. There it is.
You know, when I think back on that, too, you know, it was every bit as crucial as the experience with Pat. And yet it was so different.
It was mystical, and I would say mystical because it's the mystery. It's beyond the rational brain,
absolutely,
so to speak.
Absolutely. And you know, when I went to the oral then 3 weeks later, you know, I had meditated before going in because I thought, you know, I don't know what this is really going to be like. You know, you're sitting in a room with the director of my dissertation, the major professor, in this room of 5 other people, 1 woman and 4 men. And I didn't really know what to expect. But, and again, it was as though somebody else showed up. You know, I couldn't tell you today. I couldn't even have told you after I walked out of that room who asked me what.
Mm.
All I knew is that we had a 2-hour give and take.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was over, Mr. Sibley said, "Karen, you'll have to wait outside while we discuss this." And then he came out and said, and reached out his hand, and he said, "Well, I'm happy to call you doctor."
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it was just, you know, I feel like God has absolutely, and for somebody who came into these rooms not having any sense, not growing up in a home where there was any emphasis on that, coming into the rooms of Al-Anon and then AA thinking, I don't know that this can work for me because I don't believe in God. And then having a presence be so powerful in my life at so many crucial moments. And what I've come to believe so completely is that it doesn't matter to God if we're not aware.
Love it.
Yeah.
You know, Karen, this really takes me to something that you is in your writings, in your books, and this has to do with the ego versus the higher power.
Right.
And I'd love for you to say, because it seems like what you've described is a moment where you're just in the flow of higher power and outside of that ego self. So talk about those two different aspects of our human existence.
Okay, because, you know, I think that the ego is always really trying to set us up for struggles. And I believe, actually, I've become really a committed Course in Miracles student over all these many, more than 30, 35 years, that we have two voices in our minds. We have the voice of the ego, who is always wanting to lead us astray, always wanting us to interpret everything as a potential attack, is always wanting us to measure ourselves against others and be either superior or inferior. But there's this other voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice that says, "You're fine. All is well. What's right and true about you is that you are spirit and only spirit." And that this ego that And actually, the two are not really even aware of each other. You know, the ego is not even aware of the spirit part of my mind. And spirit has no reason to be aware of the ego part of my mind. Because according to the Course, and according to how spirit sees everything, it's the only truth there is. It's the ultimate truth about who I am. Now, because of this classroom of chaos, of wars, of fights,
right,
you know, of anger on street corners and country versus country, this classroom that the ego has created, it feels very real and very powerful.
Well, Karen, I want to ask you, though, because if you're talking about the ego, you're not talking about our ability to be rational and analytical and to be able to do, to perform certain things that can be very beneficial to life and to our own lives and to the lives of those we love. So there's our analytical abilities. Now, the ego part that you are talking about is not that part.
No, that's right. Right.
So I want right. to kind of...
Right, because, you know, as far as how science looks at it, or as far as psychiatry looks at it, there is the healthy ego and the unhealthy ego, you know, and that what we want to have is a healthy ego. That really falls into a different category than the way the Course in Miracles looks at it. But I also think that when we're looking at it from that perspective, from the healthy versus unhealthy ego, we're really looking at a healthy ego that says, I choose to be kind. I choose to look at life in a more positive way. I choose to look at life in a healthy, helpful way. And that would be more aligned with how God would want us to look at life. So, you know, what I do, and I really, and partly it's with age, I suppose. I'm coming up on 84 real soon.
Congratulations.
Right. And, you know, what I have decided is I really want my life to be real simple. And so what I want to do is to look at everything and say, do I want to make an issue of this? And the unhealthy ego says, of course you do. You want to fight.
Right. You know, let's get into the boxing ring and let's fight with it. Right.
And but the healthier part of my mind, the more spirit-filled part of my mind, says, what can we do here that would be helpful to all? What might I do here that injures no one? You know, there is a prayer in the early pages of A Course in Miracles, the very early pages, in fact, on page 28, and it says, I am here only to be truly helpful. Mm-hmm. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me.
Oh, beautiful.
And I really try to let that guide me, not just on a daily basis, but throughout the day when I'm confronted by those situations where, what do I do here? Well, what is the most helpful thing to do?
Oh, beautifully, you know, said.
How can I make this life better?
Beautifully said. I'm here with Dr. Karen Casey. She is the author of Each Day a New Beginning and also 52 Ways to Live the Course in Miracles, as well as many other books. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Karen Casey, and she's the author of Each Day a New Beginning. And we're also talking about the Course in Miracles. And I wanted to just tell a little story of my own because it happened today. And it has to do when we're talking about being in that flow. I'm thinking of the quote that you have in your book about the Chinese who say that water is the most powerful element because it is perfectly non-resistant. It can wear away rock and sweep all before it. And you go on to say resistance, most of us learn, heightens the adversity. So just as I was kind of going over my notes and got to that part in my notes where I, you know, was talking about resistance heightens adversity and goes on about acceptance of the condition. And then I get a phone call from a very dear friend of mine for many, many years, and she's in her 90s. And I had called her a couple of weeks ago, and she was calling me, and as if I had just called her yesterday. And we were talking, and she said, first of all, let me say, she has been just diagnosed with macular degeneration. That's like about her eyesight is now being really tremendously affected. And she has this extraordinary sense of acceptance of this condition. It's just extraordinary. And so she said, you know, I'm moved to let you know I just got something from a friend of mine and I wanted to send it to you this morning. And it's an Aesop's fable from, you know, those wonderful stories. And it's Hercules and the apple. And it's a story about how Hercules was walking down a path and he sees an apple and he decides to crush it with his heel. And he steps on it. And when he steps on it, suddenly it gets bigger. And then he's thinking, whoa, he's astonished at that. And so then he decides to just jump on it with both feet. And then it gets bigger. And then he decides to take out a sword and start to really fight with it. And it gets so big, it just blocks the whole road. And that's when the goddess appeared to him and said, dear brother, leave that thing alone. It is the spirit of argument and disharmony. If you keep touching it, you will do harm. But as you see, if you try to fight it, it only grows greater. But if you leave it alone, it won't do any harm. And that story came in just this morning as I was preparing for this interview, for this moment, this deep dialogue with you, Karen. And I just felt like, there's an example of an angel coming in with the right thing, just in the right moment, that is just so in tune. Do you hear you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the fable itself, so beautifully describes that which we fight gets larger. That which we focus on grows. And that's in AA, we say that all the time. You focus on a problem, you only make it bigger. You know, the solution is within the problem. Open yourself to the solution.
Exactly. But also, you really point out, I think, so well is, okay, so we see problems in the world and we want to be of help. We want to make a difference. We want to, and as you said in the last segment, you know, how can I want to be helpful? And so what is mostly helpful, and that's where you help guide us back to paying attention to the gifts we are here to bring, what it is that we have, what is our purpose here, and how can I be of help in this moment and within my circle of influence? And that really helped me. I mean, when I look at all the problems in the world and I think, oh my gosh, I need to help with this one and this one and this one, and I can go like a chicken with my head cut off. Right. And you're saying, okay, go refocus, take it back and look at what is my purpose? Right. What are the gifts I have to bring? What do I value? And how can I be effective in the help I can give? Am I getting that right?
Absolutely. Because I think that every moment that we encounter others and we treat them with kindness, we are adding love to the vibration in the universe. And I really think we may think that that's not doing anything. On the contrary, I think that that's doing a great deal. I think that every time we, with intention, treat others with kindness and love, we are absolutely, we are taking a stand that is crucial as far as turning this world around. You know, I think that none of us probably, or not many of us, are going to march across many countries and make a difference over in the Ukraine right now. But I think that what I can do at the grocery store by being really loving and kind and helpful to somebody who is maybe struggling to get her groceries to her car,
right,
is in its own way making a difference. You know, I believe in, I'm sure you're familiar with the butterfly effect, that whatever we do has a ripple effect that goes on and on and on and on. So I really have this, it's maybe simplistic of me, I don't know, but I have this feeling that whenever I do an act of kindness, it multiplies, because we know when somebody is being kind to us, that it makes us want to be kind ourselves.
Exactly, exactly.
And that is really how change occurs.
And there's another point that you're making there, and that's the point of being fully attentive to what is in front of us in this moment.
Right. Absolutely. This very moment. This is the moment that we have been given to make a difference in. And, you know, we all of us are constantly having the opportunity to make a difference. And, you know, I think that one of the kindest gifts we can give one another is our rapt attention when we are encountering somebody. You know, I mean, you know how good it feels to have to be noticed when you go in someplace, to have somebody make eye contact, and how easy it is to...
Especially for us gray-haired ones.
Yeah, right, right, exactly, exactly. So, you know, there are so many teeny tiny ways that we can make a difference. You know, I so often think about Mother Teresa, and I know you've heard this too, because she said in this years ago, be kind to everyone and start with the person standing next to you. And, you know, I mean, I think it goes back to something that simple. You know, it's not about doing something great. It's about doing something kind and tiny that makes a difference. You know, all of us will make a difference that counts.
I remember a story that a coworker told me years ago. He was living in Florida, and there was a storm, and there were all these airlines that had to cancel their flights. So there were a lot of angry people lined up. And Tom noticed that there was one woman at the counter who just handled this, seemed to do it really well. And when he finally got up to the counter, he said, how are you doing that so well? How can you do this? And She said, oh, well, I'm just with one person at a time. it's like that. It's like you're saying that which is in front of us, one task at a time, one moment of kindness at a time, and it adds up.
It does. It really does.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Karen, you know, our conversation has been so engrossing for me. You have such a beautiful way of sharing your life experience with me and now with our listeners, and we can feel it on a very different level because you are so present with it. And I know that you're telling some stories you've told before, but I feel like if you're telling them for the first time right here, right now. Thank you so much for being with us. And I want to remind our listeners that I am here with Dr. Karen Casey, and she's the author of many, many books, calling Each Day a New Beginning, Daily Meditations for Women. And we didn't get into, this is also for men, it's for all of us. And then 52 Ways to Live a Course in Miracles. And both of those books I recommend highly. And here we are. If you want to know more about her work, her webinars, her lectures, and all of her books, go to her website, womens-spirituality.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3790.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Dr. Hank Wesselman, the author of The Reenchantment. And next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about a shamanic path to a life of wonder.
Did you know the Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, aka SFPERG, has been leading social and environmental activism on campus for 40 years? SFPIRG is student activism, by students, for students. Do you have a vision for a brighter future? Are you passionate about changing the world? Visit us at www.sfpirg.ca. That's www.sfpirg.ca to learn more about getting involved today.